Growing the Game with Ballsy. He's brought to you by Pizza Hut in Saskatchewan and the Concord Group of Companies. Brought to you by Paul Waldo at Royal LePage, the home expert team. If you need a real estate agent in Regina and surrounding area, give Paul a call at 306-502-5355. Brought to you by Wheel Estate. Got a travel trailer you want to rent out or rent one this upcoming camping season? Check them out at wheelestate.ca, and their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. And I'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville, Saskatchewan. If you're looking for pedigree, durum, lentils, peas, or chickpeas this spring, give Paul a call at 306-869-7629 or check them out online at rivièreagseeds.ca. This is Growing the Game with Ballsy, a podcast dedicated to growing the sport of football in Saskatchewan. Now, here's Ballsy.
Hey, everybody, it's Ballsy. Thanks for tuning in today. I appreciate it, and my sponsors appreciate it, as together we're all trying to grow the game of football in Saskatchewan and across this great country of Canada. With that in mind, I'm going to start this podcast off with an interview I recently did with Commissioner Randy Ambrosi before the West Final on our Rough Rider radio network as we address things going on in the Canadian Football League and how that translates to amateur football.
Hamilton has done a great job building that franchise and, you know, really much like you've done here in Saskatchewan with the Riders, really building that community around the team. You know, everywhere you go in Hamilton and frankly, the surrounding area, it's big Ticat country. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't just happen.
Yeah.
They, much like, again, like here, they worked hard at it, you know, to earn a loyal fan base like the Riders have.
Yeah, for sure. Your thoughts so far and what you've seen this year from the league in terms of, let's say, quality of play.
Well, you know,
in a year where we had so many, all the quarterbacks go down, yeah. All the starting quarterbacks go down, the play's been pretty exciting.
Well, I think it's actually been an exceptional year, and now you see this emergence of this new young group of quarterbacks that, frankly, you know, Cody Fajardo and Vernon Adams in Montreal. You'll see these players, I think, will be with us in this league, you know, in entertaining the fans for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yep.
And that's pretty encouraging and exciting.
Yeah. What do you think as a commissioner to have, I mean, there's lots of great people in this league, Steinauer, Dane Evans, but to have a guy like Cody Fajardo that's so personable in arguably the mecca of football in the CFL, the heartland of football, and you got a guy like Craig Dickinson. I've never been around two guys in this league more human.
Yeah.
Like, right. And by that I mean, they're just, like, the last time we had a game here, Dickinson's walking by home to his house in downtown Regina. I tell him to come in, and he comes in, and he talks unsolicited for 10 minutes about anything. I mean, you need more of those guys in the league, and you need to market more of those guys in the league.
And add to it Jeremy O'Day,
and
add to it Craig Reynolds, and frankly, the whole Rider organization, and I think they are literally synchronized with the heartbeat of this province and of this fan base. Couldn't ask for a better situation.
So let me ask you this. Every starting quarterback went down, okay? Does that make you as a league revisit the idea of having two quarterbacks on the roster next year?
Well, you know, there's nothing that prevents teams from having more than two quarterbacks.
Right.
Dressing them in a game, they won't be able to do. But teams are having that third quarterback on their roster. I'm not as concerned about it as people might think I am, but I go back to, you always have to end the season, take a step back, and visit on, did you get it right? And right. So in the moment, we thought that was the right decision, but hey, you're asking the right question. You know, could the volatility around the QB role in terms of injuries cause us to reflect on that? Sure we should.
Yeah.
Are we going to rush out to make an immediate change? Not necessarily, but we definitely should talk about it.
In terms of the padded practices, I know you switched midway through, you switched that mentality, and you said, hey, we're going to go, in conjunction with the league, we're going to go with not as many padded practices. How have you found that? Have you done a retake on that? Have you been monitoring that and what the coaches think? And does that have anything to do with more injuries, less injuries, quality of play?
Well, you know, I'm really encouraged by it. We've seen a reduction in practice injuries down by 30%. And if I look at all of these amazing fans in the room here and across the province today and across the country, our best fans want our best players playing.
Of course.
You can find ways for them not to get injured unnecessarily, especially practices, for example, then we should do that. I do think we had to challenge our coaches to find ways to get their players prepared in a different way than they might have before. But that's maybe one of the best outcomes of this, is this group of coaches who I think are really leaders in our game are now kind of reinventing the way they're training and developing the players, the way they're practicing, and that's good for the game of football because we have to make the game safer. I think our league is leading the way in that effort. So for the moment, I think it's doing right. It definitely caused the coaches a lot of heartburn and anxiety. But I think in terms of the injury profile outcome, the right thing to do.
So I look around and I see like Ray Elgar jersey, and I see George Reed jersey, and I see Ron Lancaster jersey, and Newman, and Wes Cates. And that's great. And that is great. But I'd like to see more Fajardo. I'd like to see, you know, more of those kind of jerseys. Are you concerned at all by, and I know it's not just you, it comes to the league, these one-year contracts where there's never, like, people don't know who to put on the back of their jersey because they can't identify with the Randy Ambrosi that plays with the team for 5 years or the Wes Cates? Because to me, that's a bit of a concern when you're trying to build up excitement in a market, maybe like a Toronto or a BC or something like that.
Yeah, you know, it is something we have definitely talked about. Look, I think the best thing we could do is find as many ways to create continuity on our rosters as we can. This is something we have to continue to look at and find a way. You know, in part, the answer here lies in this is just such a great place to play. Right. I think the players come here and fall in love with being, you know, part of this organization, being part of the city, being part of the province. I think that creates a natural attraction to want to be here and want to stay. I think playing for, you know, Coach Dickinson is a factor. But should, and ultimately over time, should we look at the way we do our contracts? And it's not a discussion for today,
no.
but one that I think we should definitely have going forward. Because what I'm finding with our players and the Players Association is they want to talk about these things. You know, we don't always agree, but they definitely are willing to sit down and have that discussion. And I think it's one that we should continue to have into the future.
Hey, you're a sports fan. You're a commissioner. I wanted to ask you this, but I knew you were coming here. Didn't know it was going to happen on Monday night. The Cleveland Browns' Myles Garrett hits the quarterback Mason Rudolph over the head with his own helmet. Thank God it was the padded part, because if it would have been the crown, he might be in jail. As a commissioner watching that or seeing that, who's in the same state as Roger Goodell, what's running through your mind? Are you intrigued to see what Roger's going to do? And are you just praying something like that doesn't happen in your league?
Well, you know, I have to say, I think that they did the right thing. I mean, they've obviously handed down a very heavy suspension. There's no room in this game for that at all. I mean, look, the game is rough enough on the players. There's enough ways for, you know, players to have injuries without that kind of craziness going on. So all I can say is congratulations to the NFL for handling their business in the right way, because the players, they know it's not part of the game, but it sends a sobering reminder that's not what sports is all about.
I've been watching their replay for pass interference because they've adopted what you guys had. You were ahead of it, but they seem to, like, I think they only have like a 13% turnover rate. Mm-hmm. It's almost like they don't want to admit their refs were wrong. It's interesting, though, how you're, you know, it's as long as you get the call right, that seems to be the mentality here in this league, which I do like.
Yeah, you know, this year, I feel like we've made our biggest and best step forward with this clear and obvious standard. Look, I don't think the fans are interested in us spending half an hour trying to analyze the film down to the nanosecond what happened.
Right.
They want to know that if it was the wrong call, it was the wrong call, and it was clear and it was obvious. Let's correct those ones. That has made our command center far more efficient. I think we've gotten that a lot right. I'll tell you one of the other things the fans might not know, but one of the things that the league office does is every week following the weekend's games, they prepare a report explaining the command center decisions, explaining it against the clear and obvious standard. And we've had a couple of occasions this year where we've acknowledged to the teams that we've made a mistake, that we didn't follow the standard. And I think it's actually created a better environment within the league. The teams can trust us. And Greg Dick, who runs football ops for us, he's done one thing better, and I feel good about it, is Greg is not trying to say we're right 100% of the time. Yeah. He's not afraid to admit when we make a mistake. I actually think that's helping us with our relationship with the teams.
Okay, so how have you got the next wave of fans is what, how you want to engage? And I watch football, Paul, as you do. I'm older than you, but I watch it. Like, I figure if you bought a ticket, you're in your seat. That's where you are. So I'll tune in a Blue Bombers game. I'm like, well, nobody's at the game. Like, they're a good team. Are they turned off? Are they onto the Jets? But they're in the Rum Hut.
Yeah.
Here they're at Pilsner Place. But how are you engaging your younger fans? Is it church today? Now, this is a small sample size, but most of the people came. They're wearing their Rider jerseys, but they're my age or older. How are you engaging your younger fans? Because, you know, that's who's paying the rent coming up here.
Yeah, I think part of it is just acknowledging that they want to watch the game differently. Their experience is different than what the traditional fan was. And you know what? I think these stadiums here, as you just described, Pill Country, Winnipeg is the Rum Hut, Ottawa is the biggest bar rail.
Yeah.
And you know, frankly, that's okay. If Hamilton, by the way, they're playing in front of a sold-out stadium today.
Yep.
But oftentimes during a game, you'll see lots of empty seats. But if you go into the concourse, they've got several bars back there, and the bars are packed to capacity. Look, I think this is what our teams have done really well, is acknowledging that this next generation of fans are not necessarily going to watch it the same way, and then finding solutions to give them an experience that they can enjoy their way. And I'm excited about that. Look, I still wish I could kind of get everybody into the seats, but that's how I think about watching it, the way I like to watch a game. But hey, let's just play to this next generation. Get them into our stadiums, because once they fall in love with this game, they'll be in love with it for a long time.
This guy played in Montreal when it was hot, 3 Grey Cups in however many years, or two with Montreal, one here. But he was always around. They had great crowd support. Looks like maybe they're going back to that, which is great with Kahari Jones. But when can we expect something in terms of you guys not owning that team anymore?
Yeah, you know, we have been engaged in a remarkable set of ongoing discussions, and it continues. Look, the message from my governors all the way through was it's not to get it done fast, but to get it done right. Because we don't want to get this team set up for the next 2 years, get them set up for the next decade or longer. So you got to get the right group. You have to look at their business plans. You have to challenge their plans. Right. They have to challenge ours. Because in the end, we are looking for a great fit and one that'll sustain us for the long haul. And what we proved in Montreal this year, and you know, you played there, you know, it's a great football province, and they love their football kind of like they love it here.
Yeah.
And the fans started to come back because you know what, and they didn't go 14-4. They were 10-9 team, 10-8 team.
Yeah,
and 10-8 team, and yet that fan base, they had 21,000 fans. The fans are passionate. They're enjoying their football. They will come back.
Yep.
But they want to know that the owners are committed to the future. That's what's taking time.
A concern for me is supporting our own. I know you're a Canadian, so I'm assuming that's on your agenda. We talked in a couple of occasions, or a couple times ago, about the Vanier Cup. I had to scramble to find the Can-West game. I know that's not your problem. I got on CBC.ca, and thank God they've come forward. They're going to cover the Vanier Cup. But in terms of the CFL's relationship with U Sports and bringing the Vanier Cup under one umbrella, like they did, I think the last time was 2012, where we actually have the game paired up with the Grey Cup. I think next year would be perfect here, 2020, right here in the heartland of football.
Well, in fact, it has been a big active discussion. We've been spending a lot of time with U Sports. This is one of our goals. So I was just with our lead governors on Thursday in Toronto, and we talked about this as a model. We're working with U Sports to do that. I think it'd be good for football, be good for the future of football in Canada to bring those two championship games together on one weekend. You know, we are working our way towards that goal and a closer relationship with U Sports. Frankly, a relationship I need to get going on is with junior football as well, because they're also going to be great partners in this process.
But junior football player here, Andrew Harris. I mean, there's a lot of good stars. Zach Evans, Dan Clark.
Yeah.
I had a couple fans come to me and say, "What, the league really put a lot into that Mexican combine and they really jazzed it up, but they don't do so much for the Canadian draft." Like, here's something I'd like to see. I'd like to see Randy Ambrosi at the Casino Regina for the first round of the draft. There's only 9, I get it, but for the first couple of rounds, paper the place, have people in different jerseys, and make it an event. So it Because it's not a big deal unless you make it a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's. I couldn't agree with you more, by the way. But let's be, if you're going to be really practical, here's what's happened.
Yep.
Football in Canada, and if and I think the people in this room and on a, and on your listening network and most CFL fans understand how good CFL players are. Yeah. And they are world-class athletes.
Right.
And they are playing this game as well or better than it's ever been played before.
Right.
Right.
But the problem we've got today is that our Canadian kids are so good, they're often being tempted to go to the NFL.
Yeah.
And many of our first-round draft picks, the night we draft them, they're also kind of waiting to be signed by NFL teams. And that's creating a problem for us because the players are too darn good, and they're being attracted to the NFL, for, you know, for a chance at a spot on an NFL roster. Look, I just think I'd like to see a day where our first, second, and third round is as big an event as any draft in the world.
Yeah.
But and I think there's a way to overcome this problem. Part of it is let's grow this league. Let's make this league bigger and stronger. I've been talking with our players. I want to find a formula for our players to do better. I want to see a day where our players are making more money. I want to see a day when our coaches are making more money. I want to grow this thing to the point where it is so hard to turn away from a Canadian Football League opportunity that this becomes the first choice for everyone. And then I think we'll get to that day where the draft can be as big an event as you're describing.
And it's time to head out and speak with one of the great athletes coming up in our province, as we always like to highlight amateur athletes, Mark Harrison, who's not our producer, Mark Harrison. He's Mark Harrison, the grandson of legendary broadcaster here on CKRM, Lauren Harrison, who won a provincial championship here with the Lobolis Golden Suns. How are you today, Mark?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, man. So tell us about the run. It was an undefeated season for the Lobolis Golden Suns.
Yeah, it was a great season for us. We worked hard all year. We were undefeated, and we were able to come out with a provincial championship.
Yeah, man, you sound like your dad. Your dad, Paul, of course, on the coaching staff. He sounds exactly like his dad. What's it like being a receiver on a team where your dad's coaching? Is there a father-son kind of bond, or do you stay away from him because you get enough of him at home?
Well, you know, there's a good bond. He's a great coach, and I love playing receiver. I love catching the ball, and it's a good time.
What makes Lobolis so powerful year after year? I know it's your first championship, I think, in about 3 years, but what makes Lobolis so powerful? You're always in the mix with John Ford and his team.
It's our coaching staff and the amount of work that we put in on the offseason. We work hard year-round, so it's not just the short 2 or 3 months that we play. We work all year round.
So you win 22-8 over Riffle to win the city championship. Can you tell us a little bit about the provincial final? I wasn't at that game. My son played on Riffle, so obviously he was at the city championship, but I wasn't there in the Holy Cross game. Tell us about that game.
Holy Cross was a really good team. They've got some great players, and they gave us a really good game, and it felt really good to be able to come away with the victory. It was hard fought.
What's your favorite thing about football, Mark, playing? And do you have aspirations to play after this?
You know, I'm not sure if I'm going to play after this. I'm planning on going to university, possibly here at the U of R. Mm-hmm. But I love the camaraderie and the team feeling.
Yeah, so this guy here, Paul Waldo, was not only a receiver, but he's the school president too. How was that juggling act, being school president and being involved in a team that you know is always in the mix to win something?
Yeah, you know, it was busy, but my advisors for the Student Government Council really balanced it really well for me and allowed me to get to everything for both.
Awesome, man. Well, congratulations on the championship. I know your grandfather was a staple on this radio station for years, CKRM, Lauren Harrison. So he had that championship flair, and you do too. Congratulations, and enjoy the football game today.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks.
Our thanks to Mark Harrison for joining us in Growing the Game, as he is part of the 6A Provincial High School Football Champion, Lobolis Golden Suns. Congratulations to them once again, and John Ford directing that team. A shout-out to the Belgoni Greenall Griffins games for their 5A City High School football championship. Shout out to the Holy Cross Crusaders for their great season up there in Saskatoon, getting to the 6A Provincial High School football championship. Congratulations to all the great high school football athletes, both female and male, taking part in football this year. It was a wonderful year, the high school level all around the province. Also, while we're handing out the accolades, let's give a shout out to Nelson Lacombo, the outstanding defensive player of the year at the U Sports level from the U of S Huskies. He had another great year, two long pick sixes for touchdowns this year. How about Greg Nesbitt, the longtime assistant coach with the Rams? He gets the Gino Fracas Award. That award gets handed out every year to the longtime volunteer coach, and he's done a great job with the Rams and at the Regina Minor football level. Also, we want to give a shout out to, oh my goodness, Tom Sargent and the Saskatoon Hilltops, six-time national champions at junior football, as they knocked off the Langley Rams recently, 11-6 in BC, as they go for their stairway to seven coming up here next year. Just a machine there in Saskatoon in the junior football ranks. And the Calgary Dinos finally do it.
Presentation de la Coupe Vanier for the Vanier Cup Trophy. Here is Lisa Johnson-Stapley, Chief Sport Officer of U-Sport. The gagnant of the Coupe Vanier, the Calgary Dinos.
Nine of the last 12 times they've won the Hardy Cup. They've been to the Vanier Cup five times since 2009. Finally, Wayne Harris, who's been a part of that team for 40 years as a coach and a player, and now the head coach, can hoist the trophy over his head as a head coach as the Dinos win it 27-13 over the Montreal Caravan. And Adam Sinagra, the quarterback who comes from Quebec, wins it in his home province with the Dinos in his final ever game, and he is the MVP of that football game. So congratulations to the Dinos. Congratulations to our own U of R Rams and the U of S Huskies. Good luck to them next year trying to knock off the Dinos in the Can West Conference.
That was another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a story idea you'd like Michael Ball to pursue, please email him at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.